The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I had looked to this moment for many years. Now it is here. Why do I feel as if I want to cry?
I think he regretted the pain he caused you, lady.
Lord have mercy on his soul and on us all.
Prepare the body and inform your brother that his betrothal will take place imminently. You are to be sister to the new Lord of Mercia.
Edward, I will fight this!
You will not. You agreed that Elfwyn's betrothal was the best thing for Mercia.
I will not have my child condemned to a life of misery. Please, Ludica, do not accept this plan.
The plan offers stability. I believe it to be the best solution.
Edwulf is not the man to bring peace, please.
Lady, begging is unbecoming.
After everything I have done for Mercia, to have risked my life for this reward, my child thrown to a man who will mistreat her.
Perhaps it will teach her more deference than her mother has.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I love when shows just get weird with it. Give me all the weird.
You do.
Just every ounce of weird.
I don't, but you do.
Every ounce of weird that you can give me, just lay it on thick. Like kids like having fever dreams about crows and...
I'm the opposite.
Running into their uncles and... Yep. All of it. I just, as soon as that happened, I said, this show knows what it wants to do with me, at least.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Sometimes I'm into it, sometimes I'm not, and I just love...
Mary was not into it this time.
I wasn't. I was like, is this real? Is Leah Fritch going to pop up? Is this like some kind of pagan dream? What's going on? So before we dive into this episode, we do want to give you a heads up that it's actually a joint episode for two television episodes. We just watched the episodes, and I, being still sick, I kind of snuck in episode 406, and I told Blake, I said, these two actually work really well together.
Yeah.
And we are on a time crunch as we prepare for season 5 to drop in the very near future. So apologies that both of these episodes don't have their own private podcast episode, but as I said, they kind of flow beautifully.
Just for the sake of time and the fact that they were obviously very much blocked together, like... It's the same director. It's the same writer. It just is very clear that these two naturally go together.
Yeah, exactly. So before we do that, though, I wanted to remind you to hit that subscribe button and to also leave us a rating and review, particularly in Apple Podcasts. Even if you listen on Stitcher, if you listen on Facebook or YouTube, if you head to Apple Podcasts and you leave a written review in addition to the 5 stars, it honestly helps us so much. There's going to be loads of new people who are going to be swarming their podcast apps looking for content on The Last Kingdom, and leaving a 1 or 2 sentence review makes a giant difference for how our podcast gets found. If you enjoy our content, you can head to maryandblake.com because we actually are doing a lot of podcasting this spring.
So
we probably podcast about something else that you like as well. And if you're not part of our exclusive Facebook community, just head on over to Facebook, type in Mary and Blake, and I promise you, you're going to find it there. We'd love to have you there. And of course, this podcast is thanks to our friends at Join the Nerd Clan. patreon.com. Give yourself a pat on the back if you're one of our fellow nerd clan members. If you are not yet a member there, it's for as little as $2 a month. All of the proceeds go towards Blake and I being able to create this content, keep this studio going, and it truly helps support our family. So it's a mom and pop podcast. If you buy your coffee from a non-chain store and you like to listen to mom and pop podcasts like our own, think about contributing at jointhenerdclan.com. All right, let's get into the show. All right, so also, little housekeeping. Our kids are literally like 20 feet from us playing Harry Potter Lego on a video game.
You're probably going to hear them.
You will. I'm not. It's not even a probable. And you might hear spells like, do Wingardium Leviosa. That is why. That is why. This is, once again, Mom and Pop Podcast Shop.
Yes.
So our podcast studio is literally next to the kids' TV. All right. So in these episodes, episodes 405 and 406 of The Last Kingdom, Ethelred, we just finished up the battle and his head was kind of gashed open. So
kinda.
Little bit of a boo-boo.
Brains were seeping out of the back of his head.
Brains are super gross and everyone's trying to figure out like who's going to become the new king because things are done differently there. All right. It's not just next in line. It doesn't just go to Ethelfled. Like things are handled very differently there with the Witten. And everybody there in the Witten is very strong and crabby. Once again, women should just run this world. Like, I don't understand why women aren't in charge. But eventually, his bestie kills him in like the most gruesome death that I have seen yet on The Last Kingdom. I still actually haven't been able to watch all of it because it makes me want to vomit even just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And his sister, Eardwulf, a.k.a. Oslicker, the murderer. His sister ends up...
Edith
ends up, like, helping out. And Uhtred becomes the best babysitter ever.
And they run away.
Yeah.
And they run into the sickness eventually.
Yeah, that's really gross. And for anyone else who has issues watching sicknesses during a two-year shutdown of what we've been all going through, at least it's not that. You know, as I sit here with my long COVID headaches and extreme fatigue.
Yeah.
It's not that.
See, you're not dying on a pike
nobody,
with blood coming out of your mouth.
Nobody's putting me on a pike being like, Mary has long COVID. Oh my God. String her up. No.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Thankful to live when I do.
Yes.
I will say that.
Yeah.
And speaking of when we do, Blake and I are very, very aware that there is a lot of turmoil going on in the world right now. And we just want to send prayers and our warm thoughts to the people of Ukraine. We don't usually get into matters that are of the world or any of this kind of stuff. But, you know, we want to let you know that we continue to podcast even in these tumultuous times because we hope that our podcasts are a bit of light for people during times when particularly empaths like myself or people who are suffering or people who are suffering because they can't help, you know, in many ways. Mm-hmm. We hope that we can be just a little piece of light to bring to the world.
Yeah, I've always held this opinion. This is exactly when we need podcasts like ours or books that you read or movies that you watch. Like, go watch The Batman. Like, just go do it because if that's your bag. Because we all need to escape the reality.
We watch for a little bit.
Yeah, don't ignore it. Acknowledge its presence and it's
help
there.
Help if you can, if you
and,
want to.
Yeah, do what you want to do, what suits you. But it's important that things like this exist so that we can unplug from sometimes what is a harsh reality. And we do know that, as Mary said, that there are harsh realities happening right now, but we're here to spread, as we say, the Lumos in the time of Nox because... You know what?
It's needed.
Nerds need it sometimes.
Me
and
too.
And it's hard, especially for empaths like Mary.
Yeah.
Because, man.
Oh, my God. I already started to like mentally convert our spare room.
Oh.
I started to think about, can I fly to Berlin
and
pay for plane tickets to bring a family back?
No, Mary.
No! So
that's right,
just,
Michael.
Just know, friends, that this is where my brain goes and with what little brain power I have.
Yeah,
this is what I do. So instead, I've donated. But anyway, yes. We're continuing on.
Okay, fair enough. All right,
Blake signed off on that. Okay, so
actually, I don't think that I did, but that
you're right, you didn't.
Yeah, no, you just did it anyway. It's fine. It is what it is. All right, listen up. So this getting down to business, Mary. The episodes that we are talking about today, as we've already said, are episodes 405 and 406. They are being clumped together because they follow, I think, one particular arc, which is the betrothal of Elfwyn and running around, trying to escape certain things and getting away from getting away from Erdwulf and helping Ethelfled escape Aylesbury. Like, it's just a whole, and it just runs throughout these two episodes. And both episodes are directed by Andy Hay and are written by the showrunner, Martha Hillier. Now, Andy Hay has done a lot of British TV that I don't know. Some of you nerds may know the show Jamestown. That is one of his primary accomplishments as a director. And that's about it. If you want to know more about the things that he's directed, do that on your own time. But what I will say is that he does actually have two episodes of this season, and he has, I think, three or four episodes of next season. So season five, that's already come out. The season hasn't come out, but the directors and writers have come out. So that is that. And Marvin, what do you have for your shields rating today?
Yes. My shields rating is a 4.
Don't you go dying. I don't want to put you on a pike.
Oh, God, please. my shields rating is a 4.8. Thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
All right. Very good.
Even
very good.
So gross.
I will tell you.
These episodes.
Yes.
These episodes.
You know, it is funny because we never, ever, ever, ever combine episodes for television. I don't even remember the last time we've done it, if we have at all. But just for the sake of time and whatever, it is what it is. I would say that these episodes for me are probably in the 4-6 range combined. Mm. I liked episode 5 better than 6.
Okay.
But I liked episode 6 for different reasons than I liked 5.
Yeah.
So when I combine them both, I'm going 4-6.
Okay.
Which is good because that means we're gaining momentum. We're getting... Each episode that I've seen so far, we've been in like the 4.2 to 4.4 range. So we're getting better as time goes along here, which I think is good and natural. All right, what do you got for your GBG? You're good, you're bad, and you're great.
You know what I wonder? I wonder if we had done these as separate episodes, if I would have scored them lower.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like separately?
Yeah, separately I might have scored them lower.
Yeah.
But as a combined storyline,
yeah,
I'm here for it.
And that's a great thing. Like, are we doing the season justice by rating each episode, or do we rate the season as a whole, right? Because each episode is a facet to a larger story piece, right? It's the stitch in a larger tapestry, right? But the way that I also see it too is you have a duty as a showrunner and as a storyteller to make sure that each particular stitch is the best that you can offer. It shouldn't be contingent upon everything else.
And it's different it's different because it's Netflix. That's the other thing that is so interesting. And I've been wondering this a bit as we are approaching season 5 and as Bridgerton is coming out later this month too. You get to see something like HBO's Euphoria, which currently right now is one of the hottest shows that people are looking forward to. And it makes me wonder how much more... impact would a show like The Last Kingdom be making if it was released on a once, if Netflix decided rather than binging, if it released things once a week. But on the flip side, that is the opposite of the Netflix model. The whole Netflix and chill is literally about binging.
Yeah.
So they probably never will change their model of dropping episodes like Disney Plus does with The Mandalorian, like HBO does with their shows, like Star does with Outlander. But on the flip side, it does allow people to digest and to thoroughly rewatch episodes and to have these deep discussions that may actually be helping the once a week kind of drop.
Yeah, I've always been a fan, and I maybe it's just because I'm old, but like I've always been a fan of the once a week. Let's invite the water cooler talk. Let's invite the Reddit you know, at the time when we were watching television as kids, it was like, let's invite the AOL chat room talk, you know, and like, let's invite.
I'm thinking back to the TV guide where you'd get the two sentence, yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
And then like, let's also then invite the podcast discussion in between mm-hmm. each episode. And now it's like Reddits and all that other stuff, right? And YouTube discussions. And
so it's just, it's a very different feel. And I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. If I had to make a choice, I would say, give me everything once a week. But I will also say, though, that Netflix, when they did do this, when they came out with their model, it revolutionized television, agreed. Right? And it changed the scope of what television could and would and should do.
And I think
it was kind of a novelty. I wonder if that novelty is wearing.
Or if we need to compare it differently against shows that do come out once a week, like we are with this episode.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is that most people probably kept watching play. Probably most people watched 4, 5, and 6 together.
Guaranteed.
You know?
Guaranteed.
So it's just, I think that this is something that we may look at, especially in regards to Netflix shows. You know, as we go into season 5, we're hoping that we can just do one episode at a time. But honestly, if we find, particularly me, because I sometimes sneak ahead, that an episode truly sings well with the partnered episode, and that like this, you know, it took me a little while to convince Blake that we do this as a joint episode.
Yeah,
because he didn't see it.
Yeah.
And I kept telling him, I said, you know, A, it's the time commitment that we have to be making as we're trying to make this big crunch. But I told him, I said, I really think they complemented each other better. And so just know, podcast listeners, that we ideally are going to be doing it show by show, as there is a lot to talk about. But I think that looking at Netflix as a different model, with the people who run Netflix, knowing that it is binging, that we could look at things differently. And maybe it means that we partner up some episodes, but we have a different discussion on a part to kind of continue to fill out our podcast season. Yeah.
I think there's some validity there, Mary, to that conversation. But on the other hand, taking it back to where this conversation kind of began, which is, as a showrunner, do you have a responsibility to make sure each stitch of that tapestry is a viable stitch?
I think it's based upon your platform, though.
It shouldn't be reliant upon future or past.
But that's why I'm wondering.
It should build and evolve. It shouldn't be.
But I don't know. That's why I'm saying the Netflix model is different. They are expecting that most people went from 5 straight into 6. And they said, you know what? I'm going to stay up a little later because I need to see what happens.
So then I guess the question is, what do you as a viewer expect out of your viewing experience?
I will say with Netflix shows, I'm moreover looking at the season. Or like the bunches. Yeah. You know, when I watch Netflix, I do generally watch 2 episodes at a time.
Yeah.
Because I'm making that kind of a commitment, you know, and I think that probably is how most people, this is something I'd love someone to weigh in on, you know, listeners,
absolutely.
Like I'd love to know when you watch Netflix shows or shows that are past that you can now binge, you know, mm-hmm. So a lot of people who watched Outlander on Netflix when they hadn't watched it in real time on Stars, did they just get to binge things and did that make their experience a lot different? Doesn't mean you don't rewatch it, doesn't mean you don't love it, mm-hmm. but it's just, you know, I don't know. I think that cliffhangers can be different and storylines can be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get into the GBGs.
Yeah. It definitely informs yeah. the storytelling.
Yeah. So, all right. So my good, my bad, and my great. My good for this podcast episode is that Uhtred is the best babysitter ever. Daddy daycare, watch out. Like you
Eddie
got
Murphy's
nothing.
Got nothing.
Nothing.
On Uhtred.
On Uhtred. Oh my gosh. So good. Just like picking up kids left and right. And his daddy daycare with Finnan and Citric and Osferth. I'm here for it.
Finnan is awesome.
Finnan with Ethelstan. A baby. He needs a honey and he needs a baby. Oh my
gosh.
Well,
I think that honey is going to be Edith. I'll tell you that.
I'm here for that.
I will ship Edith in Finnan.
Let's do it. I hate her wig, but I'm down for it.
The wig sucks.
He can't die. They both need to, or they just need to adopt, or they could even have like dogs.
Do you
I don't even care.
Do you
they
like
just,
Eden
they have so much
or
love.
Finneth better?
Eden sounds like an actual name. I don't like anything.
Fair enough. Right. Fair enough.
So my bad is the Princess and the Crow dream sequence of like stumbling around. I hated the blurry thing because when I've had moments like this before through Uhtred's eyes, they've been this like weird pagan Lear Fritsch coming to you, talking death stuff. And so I'm sitting there saying, well, she is half pagan. Is this like... She's half Dane because her dad is actually...
We're assuming that...
The show has essentially told us that her dad was Eric.
I will say, so, I will agree with you.
So I'm thinking like, is this the pagan dream thing? What's going on? And why did the Crow lead her to her uncle? At that point, I'm like, screw you, Crow. What's going on? There's no story or Brita putting a curse on you. So I don't understand this.
Screw you, Crow.
Seriously. Like, give me a bloody break. And she's just stumbling around. So it's just her like having a fever dream. I was not here for it because I'm thinking, I know you're daddy was a Dane, you're having some special little dream. No. Stupid.
You, Crow.
No, not here for this. Okay, you're half pagan. If she wasn't, if we weren't led to believe that she was Eric's child, then it'd be a different thing. But because of the Dane blood, I'm equating your sick fever dreams being some pagan magic stuff. You screw you, Crow.
That's gonna be the next shirt.
No, it doesn't need to be.
It's gonna be.
My great the kids finally matter. It has been 4.5 seasons of kids just being tossed aside, aside from baby Edward, mud baby, you know, nobody else has really mattered as a child.
Nobody's really stuck yet.
And I am loving the future King Æthelstan having, you know, a presence. I am loving, you know, both of Uhtred's kids, but they're older. So they're like teen, you know, preteen teens, and they've got this different level of them, but they're even helping with the kids. So I just love that the kids actually matter and Uhtred's giving emotion and trying to protect them. And I don't know, I'm just happy because I've been sitting here saying, hello, y'all have kids. And I feel like Uhtred had more kids than two.
He did. He had Steora and Uhtred, and then he had the baby that ended up killing Gisela during birth.
Yeah, but that baby lived.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So like, who is that baby?
Yeah, where is that baby? Like, who is that kid?
Yeah. Where's...
Where's unnamed child?
Yeah. Can't just leave one. I'm going to Google that right now. You go, Blake. What's your GBG?
All right, so...
Because I'm mad. I'm happy the baby... I thought that
I'm
was a
mad as hell,
baby.
And I'm not going to take it anymore.
It was my great, but where's the other baby?
My good. The show is, especially in episode 6, gives the feeling and the momentum of a much smaller show. It gives it a much smaller set of circumstances and stakes. Because of the road trip, you know, in quotes, you know, road trip aspect, the chase of it all. The Last Kingdom has a tendency to go big. And by big, I mean kings, queens, princes and princesses. And the decisions are that are being made are forming the foundation of Western society. Like... The fact that Alfred won these battles and essentially established the base upon which England is now born, and like the effect that England has had on Western, it's these massive stakes, and we're following a character in Uhtred that is small but gets swept up in these huge stakes. On the opposite end for these particular episodes, the interactions are much smaller. They're much more nimble. They're much more personal. We're not talking kings and queens and princes and princesses, although there are, you know, they are related to what's happening. But the fact of the matter is we're watching a group of people run away. And that to me is awesome. I love the fact that we can just sit with that and allow the tension of the chase itself and the tension of escaping itself run the narrative. That is awesome. The bad for me is the Mercian soldiers just allowing Erdwolf to take a hike.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, no, that... Okay, why don't you run away to France, Like, good luck, brother. You just admitted to killing the king in front of all the king's soldiers.
Yeah.
Run away.
Run away.
They don't
Simba.
Say, like, we're Run actually going to go chase him.
Yeah. No, they're like, okay. They
say, we're going to go home and figure out who our new king is, but what in the world?
Like, part of me thought there's no, like, okay, that guy rode off. Erdwulf asked like a rode off. And he probably was riding for like a good 2 minutes. And then all the Mercian soldiers took off. Once Edith was like, okay, listen, everybody chill out. And then Uhtred was like, all right, everybody chill out. We're good. They took off. Part of me was like, there's no way they're letting Aslicker run away and get away with what he did.
They did for now.
But there was no, like, there. In, like, there's just no mention of that. There's no feeling of that. Agreed. There's no, like, some jabroni being like, yeah, let's go get him. You know, like, the show just did a lazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It did a very lazy thing, which it allowed Aslicka to go away unscathed, which to me, and here is a very, very, very early Destined to Be theory of the week. There is 0.0 chance that this is the last we're going to hear of Aslicka.
Yeah, okay? He's not dead. They're not dead. If you don't see them die.
If you don't see the body, they ain't dead and they're coming back.
Maybe he'll join Aladdin's merry men.
Well, I was thinking that he's going to join Aladdin.
That'd
or
be fun.
Is he going to join up with Heston?
I'd love all of that. I'd love all of it. Because now he actually matters to me. Now I don't have to always call him Aslicka. Speaking of lazy, ready? Uhtred's youngest son. Here's what the producer said. There were too many new characters in season 4, so they decided not to include him. And when Uhtred speaks this season and he says he has his children, he mentions Story and his son, not sons. The unnamed child was the child of Uhtred and Gisela when she died in birth, but the kid was still alive, obviously. And then this is what the producer literally said. I think we're always conscious about bringing in new characters, and there's an awful lot of them within this season. There's a lot of younger children characters coming up. Obviously, we only had 10 episodes and so many hours and so many storylines that we could really push through. So there's a chance that he may pop up. I'm not reading more because I don't want to know like book spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a chance like Uhtred,
he'll show up
maybe
next season.
But for Uhtred to say like my daughter and my son, they might have just said, hopefully nobody remembers. Yeah.
You know the whole reason why Gisela is dead?
Yeah.
Nobody will remember.
Or Uhtred was really mad that kid killed him, killed her, so bye.
We're just going to whistle past that graveyard and just hope that nobody even notices.
Oh my gosh. So there you go.
But my great. I'm just going to say that my bad ultimately is Aslicka and how he just, you know, took off. My great, though, has to go to Tim Palmer.
Tim Palmer.
I know you don't know who he is. It's okay. And none of you nerds know who he is, and that's
some nerds do.
No, you don't. I know you don't. It's okay. It's fine. I know you don't.
You're so rude.
It's fine. There's nothing
Someone
wrong with it.
Someone listening right now knows.
Maybe like Tim's mother knows. But none of you nerds know who Tim Palmer is, and he is...
Is it the bird trainer?
No, not the bird trainer. He's the director of photography.
Okay.
Especially in episode 5. What an incredible job. The death scenes and especially with Ethelred and being in the bed and the candlelight and the inky blacks and just allowing it to look like an oil painting, allowing it to just be. It reminds me of Roger Deakins, that world famous director of photography. Actually, he was the one who helped give advice in consulting on How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh.
So when you see, especially the first How to Train Your Dragon, it's full of darkness and candlelight. And like, if you remember, like the conversation between Stoic and Hiccup, or when Hiccup is looking in the Book of Dragons in the big hall, it's just dark and. That's because it's Roger Deakins.
That's because that's how Vikings roll. For those of you who don't know, How to Train Your Dragon are also Vikings.
Yes. So I just what he achieved in this episode and even in episode 6, but specifically episode 5, man, blew my doors off. That is just cinematography nerdiness at its best.
Love it.
Like, just give it to me all. Give me every ounce of it. So that is that. Marvin, what else do you got for this episode? Our children are being a little loud, so I'm going to talk with them for just one moment as you vamp for me, okay?
It's totally okay. So I just need to get this off my chest because I know that Blake won't squirm as much as I do. But the death of Ethelred, I can't even, guys. And you all know I'm not a bloody, gory, gross person. I can handle it. It's not my favorite thing. And of course, like, I've also watched Game of Thrones. I've now watched 4.5 seasons of this show. So I can handle it. I frequently, you know, I'm that person. I mean, we've seen some gross murders. I don't even know what he truly did because I still haven't been able to watch it. And I know it's fake. But I'm so grossed out by that death that nothing will ever, I mean, this guy, the ass licker, I mean, I've never liked him anyway, but this, you have now earned the grossest death. And what's crazy is that not only was Ethelred starting to not redeem himself, but starting to see the error of his ways, but then he gets this dirty death by someone who he didn't even necessarily wrong. I mean, Ethelred did wrong him just because of how he talks to him and how he treats his sister and all these kind of things. But like, I would have seen this as a death that Ethelfled could have given him, mm-hmm. you know, very much, here's for raping me as your wife and treating me so terribly, you know, that kind of stuff. Or a Dane could have done it to him.
Sure.
But for this to be, you know, we're getting all these moments of Ethelred realizing, like, I've wronged you and I'm so sorry and I will stand by you in your decision to make sure that our daughter, he acknowledges, mm-hmm. you know, that he'll treat her princess like his daughter. And so he's going about these things, once again, not fully redeemable, but I'm happy he's making some better choices. And then he gets this kind of a death. So I'm grossed out by it tremendously, but I think it also impacted me because of what it did to me emotionally.
Yeah, first of all, the sound design.
I know, that's why I can't even like talk about it.
The sound design for this.
Getting chills in my neck.
For this moment.
Nope.
Was excellent. And remember,
this is basically me when I'm watching that scene.
This is why you have to watch the podcast, ladies and gents, because Mary is just covering herself up in her hoodie. By the way, your hoodie is so bright. It's shining on the wall behind you, like the green. And I just noticed it. So it's awesome. The sound design in this particular scene is fantastic.
How long do you have to talk about it? Because I honestly might need to like cover my ears.
All right, fair enough.
And just don't recreate anything.
No, I'm not gonna recreate nothing. Okay. But that is the sign of a good show that understands that the visuals are there and the score is there. And by the way, this is when the score should be heavy.
Yes.
You know, this is when it should. And
the sound engineer person, though, was excited. Oh. They were like, I'm going to get Jell-O and wet spaghetti. And
it's going to be like ASMR, slime. Like to the max.
Yeah. They went on YouTube, ASMR squishy, hands, and went to their heart's content.
Yeah. And then they put in like some aloe in there as well and crunched it all up at the same time. Oh, yeah. Anyway. This is the sign of a good show when they understand.
I've never seen people eat aloe on ASMR, by the way. Go to YouTube.
Yeah, because Mary has a sick.
I do have a sick obsession.
Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely
do. Just no, you so do. You know, it's not an obsession. Okay, I'm not listening to it every single day. But just so you know, there are a lot of people who find ASMR videos really calming.
It's been
a really rough couple of years, man. So if I want to watch someone like cut moon sand, okay, check that out. If I want to see somebody.
The fact that you're having recommendations.
Yeah, you're welcome, Land.
It should show you that you're just a little bit more involved than you care to admit.
The eating ones, Blake and I will occasionally watch to laugh because it's so weird. The eating ones, I don't like love. They don't relax me. It's just weird.
It's funny.
Yes.
Yes.
But the kinetic sand.
Kinetic sand.
I love that.
Come home and she's sitting there watching some like.
I'm trying to chill the kids out. Okay. Some days they're freaking out and I'm like, watch this. And it works. And I love it. Okay. But yeah, So, continue. Let's stop talking about what I watched.
All
to
I'm trying
out.
To say is this is a sign of
everyone has their thing.
Everyone, this is now a sign of, or it's indicative of a good show that understands that sound design is just as important as the visual aspect. It's just as important as the scoring aspect of what it's trying to do. That is excellent. The fact that it was Aslika who did it was even better. And the fact that his sister saw the whole thing, even better.
It's crazy because people who listen to our podcast but have already seen these episodes must have been laughing at us as we're like, who are these nobodies? We don't care about them. Get them off the screen. I don't even know their names.
And like they're foundational pieces of what's about to happen.
We're like shipping her with Finnan. It's that big of a deal.
Oh my goodness gracious. I will say, Mary, and I think you already touched on this, but the fact that I even felt bad at all for Ethelred, that to me screams like wizardry. Like that someone came in and did an Inception on me.
On our brains. On all of our brains. That we felt a little bad for Ethelred. Who's going to watch his bird? I haven't seen it.
I know. Are you just going to let it fly away? Like
set it free like White Fang.
Yeah. Go! Just start throwing
rocks
at it.
That's what Edith did before she left as well. She set free Ethelfled and the Peregrine Falcon. That's my fanfic. Setting all the animals free.
Just throwing rocks at them, begging them to leave. Oh, yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that. I can't believe that I felt bad in any capacity. And I think it has to do with the fact that he had some emotional resolve and resolution. With especially with Ethelfled, and Ethelfled also made this comparison. Like I should be jumping for joy right now, and yet I want
to
cry.
I loved that because she didn't need to say that to make us feel that way.
Yeah.
But by her saying it, it made us feel okay as a viewer with our conflicted feelings. We already were feeling that. Yeah. We were feeling that during the murder, I think, and for her to say it, we were like, oh, okay, if she's saying that, then it's okay that I felt bad.
Yeah, and normally I would be of the opinion like, don't tell me how I should feel. Don't tell me that I need to feel bad. But for some reason, Mary, I think you're right in this case. The Ethelfled of it all gave us permission.
Well, we needed Ethelfled, who was his tortured wife.
Yes.
That was the conflict. We needed her to say it. It didn't make it. She wasn't saying you all have to feel this way.
Yeah.
But it was her kind of giving her blessing to the viewers that if you felt a little bit this way.
Yeah. And this is why this episode was the standout for me, because of the scene between Millie Brady, who plays Ethelfled, and Tony Regbo, who plays Ethelred. The way, like, they've always been at odds, and it's always been good guy versus bad guy, right, between these two. But when they finally get into that gray that we've talked about so much in The Last Kingdom, where there's some common ground and at least sympathy from both, or empathy from both, you allow them to be more than just good versus bad.
Yeah.
And that there's nuance in that thing. The fact that Ethelred could turn around and say exactly, I know I have not always treated you with kindness. That, for some reason, that line, and I wrote it down.
Yeah.
That line just, it soared for me. It didn't make it all go away, but it was just like a recognition. A period on the end of that sentence for me, where it was like, it didn't make the sentence go away, but it put a stop to it. And I was allowed to feel what I feel. And then I was allowed to feel something different going forward. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying
there?
Yes.
Yes.
And wrapped up in all of this, Mary, is this like kind of political back and forth. Edward's there. The battle is over. And they're trying to figure out who's going to be the next you know, successor of Mercia, and like we have like a bunch of guys, Ludica and Berborg or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
Oh, we don't need to know their names.
With the son and the son with the super long hair who kind of reminds me of the prince in Stargate.
We can just call him Krabby Dad because he's the only one that has a kid.
Yeah, so Krabby Dad.
And then Silver Fox. And who's Silver not Fox. Really a fox, but yeah. He's fox-ish. He's just got the silver hair. So we got Silver Fox, who likes Edward, and Krabby Dad, who doesn't like Edward. Those are the two standout Witten members.
Right, right. And then there was this scene, though, where Edward says to Aslika, hey, why don't you go sit next to Krabby Dad? Oh, no, go sit next to or between Krabby Dad and Ludica. And then he has that question of, so what do you think you would do, Erdwolf? Like, would you be a good fit? And you could see both Krabby Dad and Ludica like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
we did not see this coming.
This was not where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. And what's worst is Edward is getting this advice from Ethel Helm, from Phil. And he's just, again, listening to Phil. Man, I want Phil to go away.
He will.
And,
he will one
but
day.
But let me ask you, Mary, are you bored by all of this, like, political, who's going to be the next successor and who's going to be betrothed to Elfwyn and all that stuff?
Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Really?
I am bored by the people. I'm bored by Krabby Dad and Silver Fox and Erdwolf. But I like this because it's different. It's not just your next born, nor is it given to your wife or to your daughter. There's no, like, who's his cousin? You know, like it was clear with Wessex where the line goes. Okay. And then we find these people and these people are related. But in Mercia, it's different. And it's interesting to me that this is how it's handled and that there wasn't like a vice president chosen ahead of time. Right. How do you do this? How do you send your king to battle and not know who's next in line?
Yeah. Who's if the king designated were to fall? Survivor?
Yes. Yes. Who's the designated survivor? And what's interesting is that it makes me think like maybe they don't want a designated survivor because they do get a full refresh when the King of Mercia dies. Yeah. Because, you know, you think vice president, president here in the U.S. currently now, they run together. And if the president dies and you're like, yay, we get a, you know, the king dies, yay, we get a reboot. But it's like the same kind of person.
Yeah.
It's not great. So Mercia gets to have like the restart button after someone dies, which I think is really interesting. And it shows you why they need to make this decision very quickly. You can also see why things in history took place where now there is someone who is chosen. But I actually just like to see how a different society is choosing their leader.
Sure. Sure. And among all of this, too, is Edward trying to make these decisions. Like, he's holding the fact back that Elfwyn is gone, you know, and he's holding the fact that Æthelflaed is gone, you know, and he's lying to all these people. He's trying to make it seem like everything's under control.
And they don't want him there. Like, I think that that's what's so interesting is I've had a misconception of how all of these societies worked. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing, like, even when the Saxons came in, and they were so different. The Wales, sorry, the people the from Welsh, Wales, the Welsh, they like they are different. So it's an interesting bit for me historically to see how different they all are, the pride that they have, but also how they run their societies and how they run their leadership. So I'm not actually bored by this process.
I am legitimately shocked at this.
Why?
I thought that you would say that this is all for the birds. I thought
if
you were
if there were processes, if there was, what's that rules? The rules when you're in a board meeting and it's like the rules of like, I second that motion on this. No, I'm not here for that. I love all this kind of gossiping, just standing around a dead body, you know, like who's gonna choose it now, like, okay, we better go, like, chat with our friends and figure this out.
Yeah, right.
I think my son's great. Well, I'm old and I've been here a long time and I'm friends with Edward. Like, I just think it's wild that this is how they choose a king. I mean, this is chaos.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because while we have this very violent death in Æthelred and we've just moved on from a very violent battle at Tettenhall, the methods of confrontation when mm-hmm. it comes to who is going to be the next successor are far less violent, but just as impactful. I mean, yes. You know, whether it is, you know, like the deeds that are happening are far more cerebral mm-hmm. and, but they're just as impactful in that, like, it's Aelswyth getting put into quarantine essentially by the new queen. Or it is Æthelflaed being put into isolation mm-hmm. during the whole process after Æthelred's death. And Phil just kind of like showing up out of nowhere, making sure that the queen gets punished and then Edith coming in and saying, no, hey, Æthelflaed, you're go mm-hmm. and let's figure this out. And at the same time, we have all the interplay between all the eldermen who are trying to weasel their way into being the next successor, essentially trying to get involved with the king, but also say that, hey, you're the king of Wessex. That's great for you.
Yep.
But you're coming here and your show of force is an obvious mm-hmm. Step on the power of Mercia. So that it's just this fine balance of all of this politicking between everybody that seems to work in conjunction with the emotional stakes, but it gets weaved in properly with the violence of what is also happening. And through all of this, we have the connection brought back to the forefront of Steora and Uhtred and Wee Uhtred. Mm-hmm. And Steora seems like a chip off the old block, man. Always having a plan, always knowing what to do. I don't want to watch these kids.
I love her.
I've been mothering her. I don't need to do this, Noah, but she does it anyway.
I love her so much.
And she's sitting on that like trunk, and freaking Osferth is in there, and she's just cool as a cucumber.
That girl, she's Gisela's daughter.
She is very much Gisela's daughter.
They cast a wonderful young actress. I mean, yes. Honestly, all of these actors, these young actors are doing a phenomenal job. But she has such a strong presence. And I always think it's so interesting for youth, for, you know, these, because so frequently we see adults who are acting as teenagers. You know, we look once again at the cast of Euphoria, like they're all actually adults playing yeah. teenagers. And I love this magical preteen, very young, young teenager age where you can't fake it. Yeah. Like very really, unless you're Moaning Myrtle, you really kind of can't
yeah,
fake it.
Yeah, when you're 30 and you're playing a 15-year-old.
But when they are able to carry complex characters like that, I just think it's a really beautiful thing. And of course, you know, we look at the future king, Æthelstan. He's got a pretty simple role.
I know. Like, he just shows up.
Just be quiet
up.
And say, I am no one. You know, that's all you got to say. You can't go wrong. And then we've got the little princess who just needs to keep like sleeping, essentially. But when you look at Steora, and we look at young Uhtred. They're doing an awesome job.
Yeah, and you know, I'm wearing my Team Zero shirt from the Umbrella Academy, and Steora actually kind of reminds me of the kid in the Umbrella Academy, the one the young kid that plays Five.
Yes,
and he has to act among of these.
He's one of the most amazing actors.
Yeah, he has to act among all these adults like who have been around.
If you haven't seen that show, it is also on Netflix. It is so weird and so good.
Now that's the kind of weird that actually marries into.
Yes.
Which is funny. So like, but it's so
it's
weird.
It's actually not funny weird, but you find it funny. No,
it can be funny weird.
Yeah.
But it's
that show. If any of you do watch it, send us a message and be like, okay, I took your advice. Keep going.
Yeah. Just allow it to wash over you.
Yeah.
Just monkey in a spacesuit. That's all I'm going to say. Just allow that.
That's how we came across it. I was scrolling through Netflix and the monkey cover image for it is a monkey in a spacesuit. And I told Blake, I want to watch this.
And I was like, it's weird. All right, let's do it. And it is one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
You're welcome.
So just allow it to wash over you.
You're welcome.
Let it sit in the ether, simmer there for a little bit, and just keep going. And you're going to be, you're just going to. Oh, it's going to.
And Five will blow your mind.
Yeah. And it will infect.
The actor of Five.
Yeah. It will infect your brain. And so what I'm getting at is if you have seen The Umbrella Academy.
You know what we're talking about.
And that's who what Sior reminds me of.
When you find these amazing young actors.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the type of people. It's funny because there haven't really been that many movies, I think because of honestly the pandemic and everything, that get to highlight the extraordinary acting. And I just don't think things are written right now that are coming to big time notoriety that have young actors really at the forefront. But you think about other movies that did, and even the kid that was in The Sixth Sense. What the heck's that kid's name?
Oh, Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. Like you find these like weird kids where they can do some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just always have to give props as a former middle school theater teacher. I'm always blown away by young actor capabilities.
We bring up Ethelstan when he does say, "I am no one." And that is.
Who are you? I am no one.
And like, it's very Game of Thronesy. But I will say it is kind of shocking to, again, because we had that title card at the beginning of the season, we know who this kid's going to be. We know that when he's walking when he's resting on Finnan's shoulders as they're walking, we're like, that's the future first king of England. And he's just riding on Finnan's shoulders, and Finnan's busting his balls.
You know that Finnan grows up later on in life and plays like two truths and a lie, and that's one of his things. Like,
guaranteed.
The king of Wessex rode my shoulders as we camped along the countryside. You know?
No. The king of England.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Okay.
I just like the fact that that was there.
What is this sickness?
So I did a lot of research into this.
Because
I'm into that. I'm a history. I got a degree in history, and it's my thing. And the fact of the matter is,
I watched enough when everything started to go down. March 2020. I honestly every day drank half a bottle of wine in the tub. I watched Tiger King, Contagion, Outbreak, yeah. Netflix documentaries on all sorts of diseases.
Don't F with cats.
Oh my gosh, don't F with cats. If any of you watch The Tinder Swindler and you get upset because there's no like completion at the ending, I haven't watched it, but that's what people say. Uh-huh. Watch Don't F with Cats.
Oh.
There will be completion. And you are welcome. Yeah, it's a messed up thing. But I watched all these like really weird messed up stuff in addition to watching all the different things about diseases and plagues. It prepared me very well. But
Outbreak.
I'm telling Contagion was the worst one. Contagion like almost all happened.
I know. It's wild when you think about it.
Like if you haven't rewatched Contagion since this all happened,
watch
friends,
it again.
I watched it March 2020 and I was like, they're not going to have indoor proms where you have to decorate your house. They're not going to have things where like someone's vaccinated, but you can't visit your partner and you can't. Guys, watch it. I'm telling you, watch it. But nonetheless, I was not interested in researching a plague.
So I was interested in researching it just to see if it was, you know, it's not the plague, but there's no discernible, like this was the thing in the late
900s. Because would he have been bleeding from his mouth if he wasn't staked? You know, or
well,
was it?
Yeah, but Finnan also in his moment of freak out says, I've seen.
Finnan's me.
Oh, Finnan is you. Oh my God. Finnan couldn't freak out fast enough. If Finnan were alive right now, he would have bought all the toilet paper.
No, he would have been me.
I know.
And would have communicated with friends in Italy and knew to get the toilet paper early and then watched Contagion so they were fully prepared.
Oh, Finnan is having none of this.
Oh my gosh.
And that is so funny.
He needed some hand sanitizer. It's in the air. It doesn't matter. She touched it.
Wash your groceries.
Oh my gosh.
Finnan
the washing of groceries.
Finnan was all of us in March 2020.
Wipe down the counter where the grocery bag even was. You need to leave your mail in the mail slot for 3 full days.
Yeah. Let the sun bleach it. It's funny because we can laugh about it now.
I mean, I can't, but yes.
Yes, I know.
As I sit here.
Just dying.
I'm not dying.
No, you're not dying.
I do have long COVID, but I'm not dying.
Yes. Finnan, and this is actually very surprising for me. This is also a bit of great character work.
Like, why is it surprising?
Because Finnan has always been the self-assured, stoic kind of character. Like, not stoic in that, like, he doesn't talk.
But Finnan secretly hides in a bathtub with his mead watching Contagion.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Like me.
I would never have pegged Finnan for that. Never would have done that. And yet here he is, and now that's part of his character.
But, like, thank God. You know, everyone's kind of freaked, like, Finnan, calm down. But none of these other people seem to have had firsthand experience of communicable diseases. You know, everyone's like, sure. Oh, gross. But Finnan's like, no, you need to take this seriously. I've seen this.
The guy was fine in the morning, and then by the end of the day, his lungs were liquid.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Even though they're kind of like, Finnan, chill.
No, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's great characterization because, as I've always said, and I will say this to the day I die, whenever you watch a television series or a movie, if someone asks you to describe a character without giving their name, what they look like, or what they do, and you cannot describe that character, then it's a bad character. Well, I can't say it's bad. It's just not a fleshed out character. Some characters are just meant to be wooden. Some characters are just meant to be an archetype. Some of them are just meant to be cliche. And that's the point. But if you're watching, like, okay, if I asked you to describe Qui-Gon Jinn, like, what would you say? Other than the fact that his name is Qui-Gon,
and
he's
old.
I'm
not allowed to say he's a Jedi Master.
No.
And I'm not allowed to say he's Obi-Wan's bestie.
No, because that's what he does.
Okay. Oh.
That's a thing.
Oh, no. Qui-Gon Jinn is like a very underdeveloped person.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right. Like, I thought you were actually asking me to do it. Like, Mayor, you should be able to do this.
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, but if I asked you to describe Han Solo.
Oh, yeah. That's easy. Yes.
That's because it's a real character.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying for all of this is Finnan
continues to get fleshed out.
He continues to get fleshed out. And this is one of those things that you wouldn't peg him for, but it is true. And that's part of him that you can use to describe him.
Which is why I think Citric might die one day.
Yeah.
He needs a little bit more. However, he got like a little glow up.
He did. Definitely did.
They had some more like close up FaceTime. And I don't know what his skincare routine has been like on the road.
Uh-huh.
But he is liking the fresh air.
Sure. Oh, the fresh
air
agrees with him.
And the little beads he's got going on.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it. Because someone has to shave that head every other day.
I know.
Who is it?
It's him. He's got the knife.
He does.
He's like John Locke in
Lost. He cares about how
Lost.
He looks.
He does care about how he looks.
He probably smells good.
I mean, within context.
Yeah. He probably knows like what herbs to rub around in, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he's big on the mint.
Yep.
I'm sure he's very big on mint.
Great oral hygiene.
There's also something that happens here, too, that I wanted to point out. Actually, I wrote this line down specifically. Was when Uhtred was in Aylesbury, and he's speaking to Aldhelm. And Aldhelm says, times are feverish. Now is a moment for calm negotiation. And Uhtred, for some reason, I know the reason, but Uhtred has this line that just stuck with me when I heard it. I said, oh, that is excellent. He says, the men who play politics always say that, and then they come running for my help. Oh,
mic drop.
Yeah, like, seriously, you know what that is? Makes me wanna shout. Oh, like, you know what it is, what it comes down to?
No.
I think that Martha Hillier captures Uhtred's voice better than Stephen Bouchard.
Agreed.
I think that she does.
Agreed. Because he's allowed to still be realist and proud of himself.
Yeah.
Without it coming off like, of course I do.
Yeah, like it's not wooden. It's
But it's also Uhtred's maturity. Think about it. Uhtred was so young where he could be bold and say, I win all the battles. I'm awesome. I'm Uhtred.
Yeah.
But now he's able to say, people do need my help.
Right. And not have it be boastful or not ironic. It's just an acknowledgement of truth. I, for some reason, that moment just, there was those two moments that I talked about, but this one in particular, just, it just stuck with me. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. There's more of a, with Martha Hillier, there's more of an acknowledgement of truth, but it's a little bit more laid back. The dialogue feels a little bit more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because Alexander Draymond's just more comfortable in his skin as Uhtred as the seasons go along, or if, like, you know, Finnan is more comfortable in his skin or whatever. There just seems to be more interplay. There seems to be more of, I'll use the word, I don't want to, but characterization. Do you find that at all as this season goes along?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breida. Poor Breida. I don't know how long she's down there in that pit with those Welsh just spitting on her and treating her terribly and not feeding her. I'm surprised she hasn't said, I'm with child, as yeah. I wonder if that would have helped her a little bit, just a little bit, because they are Christians, and I don't know if that would have pulled at them in any which way. I do think that they, I would hope that they would have treated her a little differently if she told them that she was with child.
Yeah.
And then of course the guy comes in all chopped up. He looked like he went through an egg slicer. Doesn't he?
He does.
It's like, buddy.
An egg slicer.
You gotta just chop off what's left of your ear.
Just let it go.
Just honestly.
It's like when you're balding and you know you gotta shave it all off.
I'm just, holy.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm saint-like. I'm holy. You're welcome, Harry Potter friends.
Oh, man, that was good. That was good. Yeah, poor Breida. I can't imagine how this will inform her character going forward, especially knowing that she begged Uhtred to kill her, and she is in this position because Uhtred couldn't do what he wanted him to do. I think that is a fascinating direction for her character, and how this is molding her to an extreme. Like, she was already extreme as it was. Like, she was okay with the violence and the, especially when Cnut was going through Aylesbury and like stringing people up and everything. She wasn't like, no, you shouldn't do that. But no, she was in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks that, like, this is a little bit of payment for her that she has to endure as a character.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of me knows that this is going to push her in a direction that will not make her more centrist. It will make her more extreme. It will push her in a direction that I think could be her undoing. Especially as it relates to whoever put the guy through the egg slicer,
mm-hmm.
Whoever this person, like whoever these Danes are that have come from Ireland, which I imagine is Cnut's cousin, I would imagine.
Who's his cousin?
Remember when Cnut, we haven't met him yet. We haven't met the cousin yet. But remember when there was like the rumor that Cnut was going to Ireland to help
that
defeat
Heston
it?
Told Arslicker?
Yeah.
Or all the women were going or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that there was another, like, branch of Danes.
Yes. Okay. So what I'm saying is they said, the Welsh said to the Welsh king, or his brother, I think. Yeah, it was the brother, because the king went off after the battle was won. He went to his like, holy whatever it was, his pilgrimage. Mm. I think, you know, no, I know what happened was, sorry, just my brain just turned off there for a second. They, the soldier said, hey, there are these new Danes that showed up and they're from Ireland.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would
but
imagine.
But that was kind of the lie with Heston. Heston was telling Erdwulf Arslicker about it. All right. I need you to go check on the kids because they turned off the TV.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, I have no idea who these other Danes are, but I agree it's people we haven't seen, and I just feel like they multiply like rabbits, and there's probably Danes and Scots everywhere. But it's just interesting to be expanding this world. You know what I mean? Where we were so focused on Wessex and the people attacking Wessex, and now we've had Mercia, and now we have the Welsh, and we've got the Scots, and we've got these Danes coming from Ireland. So I'm excited to see how the rest of this season plays out. If we do get to, we got Aladdin, okay? We've got all these people coming from all these places. So I do know that the season is still going to be continually, you know, like tying up loose ends. So I highly doubt we're going to be meeting too many other new people between now and the season finale of season 4. You know, we've already added a lot of people. We've added a lot of kids. But I'm interested to see in season 5 where these people from other worlds come from. Because, you know, we've now gone quite a substantial amount of time through these 4 seasons. Mm-hmm. And with that, people are getting bolder in their voyages and they're wanting to conquest other lands. So I love that we did. We started off really so micro on Wessex and Bebbanburg and these little things. And really, England has this grand land. And yeah. So I'm happy to see the differences of the politics, the way that the people carry themselves, the way they dress, the way that their halls are. You know, yeah. We get to see what the Welsh hall is like. Like, why are there just men in there? Why are they all dressed right. In the same?
And another thing, too, is that the Welsh, the king, King Hywel, says, we're going to take the silver that we got from Tettenhall and we're going to build a wall. But we're not building a wall to keep out the Danish. We're building a wall to keep out the Saxons. Mm-hmm. Like, so think of that, right? The Welsh don't see the Danes as an enemy. They see them as they see the Saxons yes. as the enemy. That is fascinating.
Well, I think also too, because they just defeated the Danes, so it's like, meh, they weren't that hard.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
They're not that organized, you know. It's just it's interesting to see as we do know that we are going on a pilgrimage into season 5, that I'm interested to see the world get bigger and continue on that way.
Yeah, and at the same time, as the world, and we say it every episode, England is becoming born, right? And let's see how England is born. You're right. The world itself is becoming much larger as mm-hmm. we're involving all these new people. But at the same time, in these episodes, our scope became so much smaller,
yeah.
Which is also a fascinating dichotomy of watching these 2 episodes. I would say that the 5th episode was beautiful. Yeah. And it was,
except for the squishy death of Doom.
Yeah, but that's what made it beautiful at the same time. Like, and it was personal. There were, you know, there was a lot of politicking and nerdy stuff, but like, as you said, Mary, you can appreciate it for certain reasons. The 6th episode was just as beautiful, but in a different way. It was very, how do I want to say it? It reminded me of Stand By Me, almost, you know, when they're in their travail. Oh, you know what? No. Lord of the Rings. It was very Lord of the Ringsy, like Fellowship of the Rings. You know those shots that... Yeah. You know,
that make you want to go to New Zealand right
away.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. That's what it was. And, you know, The Last Kingdom has done shots like this, but they were particularly in episode 6.
Very Outlander season 1, too, where you're just scoping grassy shots.
Yeah. And then also that there are these, there are these, drone shots mm-hmm. that follow up creeks and they come up, you know, from the ground and move along with the water or whatever. There hasn't been a whole ton of that in The Last Kingdom, but Andy Haid chose to do that mm-hmm. in episode 6. So the problem with episode 6 was that there was a lot of things that needed to happen in order for it to keep going, right? So when Uhtred and his buddies show up at the place where they're supposed to meet Æthelflaed just leaves as he's arriving, you know, or all these people are just leaving as other people are arriving. It just so happens that Elfwyn stumbles upon Aslicker when he's sleeping and nobody wakes up. Like, yeah. There are a lot of lazy.
You get lucky.
Yeah, lazy writerly things that happen in order that make it so that the story is able to move forward. That's the problem.
Like, I would have felt better if someone was foraging for food and they came across the tree, you know, like if they were going looking for mushrooms or berries or something.
Sure.
Rather than following the crow, which I know you loved the crow.
I was in on the crow.
But I don't understand it. And so all I kept thinking about was pagan fever dream. And then it had nothing to do with that. So to me, I would have had a better time with someone, even if it was still the same girl, even though she's sick. That, like anyone, just like you are foraging.
Yeah.
And then you find it because you do need food.
Yeah, I mean, like,
okay. Or you're getting kindling or something.
Yeah, and here's the other part of this too. And I think the problem is that this girl is just walking. She's
princess, whatever.
She's a princess. She's Elfin.
She's literally as useless as a Disney princess.
That's true.
Pre-2000.
So she has no stealth in her whatsoever. And you know, she's walking on sticks and cracking them, and leaves are crunching and rocks are moving, and she's falling apart. And are you telling me that these soldiers who are with Asleka, there's not someone, number one, awake to make sure that they don't get killed? And number two, that she doesn't make so much noise that they don't awake themselves? They don't become awoken?
She's in the she's light as a crow.
Screw you, crow! So if my thought process is, okay, let's say she is foraging, or let's say she is looking for kindling, or let's say she is in her weird crow dream.
How did nobody hear her?
How did nobody hear her?
I know.
And would it have been better if someone did hear her and the chase begun? Because ultimately, what ended up happening
is they got chased.
They got chased anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, would it have been better if they just got chased from the beginning?
Yeah.
I think that's a valid question. And again, a lot of these things happen just so that the story allows itself to continue, as opposed to the reality of the situation.
Okay.
And that is when the plot is informing the characters and the characters are not informing the plot.
Interesting.
So there are great things about 5 and there are great things about 6, but they're different in different ways.
Last character that I want to make sure we cover is Queen Mama. Mama of the King.
Aelswyth?
Aelswyth.
Okay, what do you got for her? She don't play.
She's so mad, and rightly so.
I don't blame her.
Don't put mommy in timeout.
Yeah.
And it wasn't he who did it.
No, it was Phil who did it. And Phil's just like, yeah, make sure you go punish her. And then this lady just says, yeah, guy, I don't think so.
This is what we pay people for.
Yeah. I know you haven't watched it, but it reminded me of Succession season 3 when Logan Roy says to his kids, you're playing toy soldiers. Like, all I could think of was that when Aelswyth is speaking to the new queen, when the new queen's like, yeah, you're going to be confined. And all I could think of is Aelswyth saying to her, you're playing toy freaking soldiers. Mm-hmm. You have no clue what you're doing.
Good luck.
You think you know what you're doing. But
I could see Aelswyth like being super shady and going to the royal hairdresser and being like, accidentally put bleach in her shampoo next time, you know? So she wakes up and it's like the... What was that movie in the early 2000s or late 1990s with the coven? Like, was that what it was called? The Craft?
Oh, The Craft. Yeah.
Where like the girl like loses all of her hair because they put bleach in it or something. Like Nair. Yeah.
Oh, like, that is so funny.
Switch this bottle. Switch your shampoo for Nair. Aelswyth would totes do that.
And then there is a legitimate conversation that does come out of this, which is Edward is trying to just lead. But he's putting out fires. Like Mary and I had a conversation about someone today where it was like, this person just puts out fires.
I can't handle it. I can't handle fire putter outers.
And right now he's putting out fires and his mother is not helping the situation.
As an anxious person, that is like goal number one in life. You do not want to be in a position where you have to put out fires.
Yeah. You want to just make it so that there are no fires.
Yeah.
And he's got a situation where he's like, all right, close the gates. And then his mother shows up and it's like, wait, no, open the gates up again. But then he has this problem now with the Witten from Mercia.
Been smart. He asked his mom, Mom, what do I do? Like all these people are going to, she'd say, I know how to make sure fires don't happen. You just wait till all these people are sleeping at night time and you just sneak me in. I'll eat some bread. I'll just hang on out. Okay. Or you take me in the back door. But he didn't ask her for advice.
Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about actually is Steora in Wee Uhtred. I found their scene at the end of episode 6 really nice. You know, you can see that despite the fact that they've been separated, mm-hmm. that they still very much love each other.
But that they're also spiritually separated. We've got yes. Stiora, who's leaning very heavily into the pagan, and Wee Uhtred, who, you know, because of his religious upbringing with the church, is, you know, still strong in his faith.
Right. I love that dichotomy between the two. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see if there's some kind of synthesis with those characters. You know, does that synthesis come in the form of Uhtred? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just find that
Remember our baby brother?
Yeah, right? Wonder where he is. All right. You got anything else you want to talk about, my love?
That's it.
I think we're at an hour 14 here for this episode.
And my headache is
strong.
Yeah,
your long COVID's coming through. I can see it already. So we're going to cut this one to the end here. If there's anything that we missed or anything that you want to talk about, please let us know. We'll have it in the listener feedback. Again, we're going to be trying to fire through these as fast as we can before the arrival of season 5. Be aware, though, that we may not finish season 4 before season 5 comes out.
But we still will podcast of season 4 before we podcast about season 5.
Yes, we're not going to jump from episode 407 to 501.
So if you binge all of season 5 on the day it's released, just know we can't.
Yeah, normally, I just think that given Mary's sickness, you know, and how that has been affecting her, I think we're going to go week to week with this.
No, we're not. No, that expectation, I'm throwing that out the window. But just know that we can't binge.
We're not going to binge.
We can't binge podcast. My stamina, sadly, just isn't what it needs to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I know. So don't put an expectation that it's going to be week to week. But definitely make sure that you're on our complimentary texting service. Make sure you're following us on social media channels, as I am going to start putting up a weekly podcast schedule. Mm-hmm. And if you follow our Mary and Blake Facebook page, we're actually going to be making Facebook events so you can plan accordingly, particularly if you listen to more than one of our podcasts.
Yes.
You know, if you listen to The Last Kingdom and The Potterverse or Outlander Cast or This Bridgerton. Is Us 2 or Bridgerton later this month, like, you'll have a good idea if you want to join in the discussion, whether it's actually a live podcast or it's a premiere podcast, which is when we're still live in the chat feature with
yep,
you.
Yep.
Like this one right here is a premiere podcast. So it's recorded earlier, but we are actually in the live chat with you.
Yes.
Just know that you'll want to be following us on it, as we do have a very full schedule. And
we're going to be doing podcasts essentially every single night.
Yeah. And I am still
very sick.
Very, very sick.
Gonna have all the naps.
I'm so mad. Of course, me, the one who watched Contagion and Outbreak the things.
Like, I wish it were me that got sick this way.
No.
Because I know that you're doing a great job pushing through it, but like, I feel so terrible telling you, okay, Mary, we got a podcast.
Oh my God.
And you're just like looking at me with death eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and just because you're so sick, if it were me, I would just say, okay, we have responsibilities. Like, we have to push through it, which is very much what you're doing. But I feel so terrible.
I mean, if you want to get it, we can ask.
I will gladly get it. I will gladly
no,
take it from you.
No,
from whichever god or gods I need to take it from you. I will ask them.
No, don't wish upon any of that, okay? Only one of us can be down this long.
All right, let's close this bad boy out, shall we?
We shall.
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for hanging on out with us, and also for you being listening to a joint podcast episode.
Yes.
Blake and I said we've never done anything like this for The Last Kingdom before. So thank you
for
understanding
any of our shows, really.
Why we did it. And we'd love your feedback. Don't forget to leave us that rating and review. It makes a huge, huge difference.
Yes,
just,
it does.
Just a little like silent plea. If any of you suffer from long COVID and you found anything that works for you, please just send us a message and let me know, because I'm willing to do anything right now.
Put one of those like little virus emojis, you know, in the comments section.
Just message us. You're fine. So thank you. Thank you so very much. We are very excited for the month of March as we go forward into all of the different podcasts. So make sure you're following us on social media.
Yep.
If we do bring you joy, as I said, feel free to become a member at jointhenerdclan.com. It makes a massive difference in our lives. So thank you, yeah, especially for those of you who are already members there, from the bottom of our hearts. We are just so honored that you take the time to listen and to join us in these little pieces of Lumos in a time of Knox.
Yeah, this, you know, we're not one of those big conglomerate podcast companies. We don't have the big sponsors that support us or guide our content. We are completely independent. Our content is our own. Our voices are our own. So you should take comfort in that. But because of that independence, you know, we do ask for your help. We do ask for your support. And we ask that you continue to listen to us and enjoy us and engage with us. Even if you don't support us, that's totally okay. Engage with us. Engage with the community. Mm-hmm. Join the Facebook group. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app, because we can't pay bots to leave comments.
Don't wanna.
Like a lot of companies do. Yeah. Like, that happens. That's a true thing. We don't do that. Yeah. Everything that you see from all of our it's all genuine. Real. It's all genuine. So, and that's all dependent upon you. So there are many ways you can help Mary and Blake.
You can even screenshot this podcast, yeah, exactly, and put it up in your stories. Maybe you're already a member of Join the Nerd Clan. You want to help out more, or maybe you can't afford to join. Honestly, screenshotting this and putting in your stories, yeah, and tagging us and letting people know.
That's actually like the best thing that you can
huge.
Do.
Huge. Yeah. That is literally word of mouth. And that is the best way that people find podcasts.
Yeah. So make sure you keep track with us on us regarding all of the podcasts, because we do have This Is Us 2 happening, Outlander Cast, Bridgerton with Mary and Blake. We have the Potterverse, obviously, and The Last Kingdom, that's dropping at the end in a few days. So make sure you keep in touch with us at Mary and Blake on all of the social media platforms and maryandblake.com, where you'll be able to see the schedules and all that other stuff. Trust me, you need it.
All right, everybody. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.